Good evening, and welcome back to the Know Your Role Player Podcast. I'm your host, Jay, the number 215 forever. Follow your boy on IG. You know, my IG page is my podcast page. That is at Know Your Role Player _ podcast. The best way that you can listen to this podcast is to download the Anchor app. That's anchor.fm/KnowYourRolePlayer. Whether you have Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Radio Public, iHeartRadio, or many, many episodes like the one you are currently listening to becomes available, you will get notified. All right, guys, welcome back. Today is Wednesday, April 10th. The season is winding down. We got a lot to get into, so let's just jump right into it. So I want to talk about today's games real quick. But before we do, we got to talk about the breaking news in the NBA. So last night, when the Bucks played the Celtics, there was a big, big scare that Giannis might have tore his Achilles. Now, I am happy to report there's official MRI back, and there is no Achilles tear. Thank you, Jesus, man, because that was horrible. So it was really bad. He went down on a non-contact injury. He's been having some calf issues for a while, and let's just read the quote real quick. So Giannis' left Achilles is fully intact, and the Milwaukee Bucks star plans to return to play depending on how quickly his left calf strain heals, a source told ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski. Giannis exited Tuesday's game over Boston in the third quarter after crumbling to the floor or grabbing his left leg. The Bucks initially called it a strain to the left soleus, which is the muscle and back of the calf. But once he had his MRI, it was no Achilles. The Achilles is fully intact, so that's fine. So that's what's the most important. It was a scary injury, but that's what's the most important. But here's the thing. I don't want to put a timeline on this, but the season is basically over. The playoffs start in the first round, April 20th. And, you know, with an injury like this, any, like, soft tissue injuries, they got to heal on their own. Like, can you play through something? Yeah, but you can really have a dangerous chance to overcompensate and injure yourself again. And it's really the worst possible timing for the Bucks, man. So we'll see what they do because of this, but it's not looking good for the Bucks. But what was looking good for the Bucks last night was how they did play. I do want to talk about their game, but before I do, let's run through today's games, all right? So the Grizzlies faced the Cavs. The Grizzlies basically shut everybody down today. Jaren Jackson Jr. shut down for the end of the season. Desmond Bane is shut down for the end of the season. I think the Memphis is in fully – I ain't going to say tank mode because they always play hard, but they kind of punted on this season, so it is what it is. Hawks, Hornets. Yo, I'm not going to lie to y'all. I want to pick the Hornets so bad. I want to pick them to straight beat the Hawks. If they were in Charlotte, I would do it, but not today. Nets, Raptors. All right, RJ Barrett is out of this game. They don't have any bigs on the Raptors, so Nick Claxton should be able to dominate inside. I do think the Raptors can keep this somewhat close, somewhat. I don't think it's going to be a blowout, but I think the Raptors can win this game. I'll just go out there. Mavericks and Heat. This will be probably the best game tonight. Dallas is favorite. I like Miami at home, though. I don't know. Dallas is hot. Maybe they can break the Heat's defense. The Heat are very susceptible to giving up three-point shots, so we'll see what happens. But I don't know. I think I like the Heat tonight. Bucks and Magic. This is another really good game without Giannis. We'll see who wins. I'm going to go with the Bucks at home play really good. They're not a good road team. They are a good home team. 30-11 at home while Magic are 18-21 on the road. I'm going to take Milwaukee to win this one. Spurs and Thunder. This shouldn't be a close game. OKC should win by a million. Thunders and Timberwolves. This will be a good game. I'm going to take the Timberwolves to upset Denver, man. I think they can do it. If everybody plays, I like them to upset them. And Clippers and Suns, no Paul George, no Devin Booker, no James Harden. Phoenix to the moon, man. We'll see what Westbrook gives us because he'll give us the best that he has. So a couple of things that I want to talk about that happened on Tuesday night. And we'll go back to that Celtics game. So Doc Rivers has talked about in detail how the Celtics are not a good road team, but they do play good at home. 30-11 at home. So, you know, they do play well at home. They only lost 10 games. You know, and so to start this game, this was a pretty interesting game. You got to give it credit where credit was due. The Bucks were just hot. They came out shooting crazy threes. Brooke Lopez had, I think, 4 threes in the first quarter, man. He did what he wanted to. Bobby Portis was dominating the glass. Everybody was hitting shots. Everybody. Middleton, Lopez, Patrick Beverley. Lillard had a couple of threes. They were just hot at home. The Celtics got off to a close start, and they never got back into the game, right? Jaylen Brown with 14. A lot of those were second-half garbage time minutes. Tatum is either boom or bust in Milwaukee, so it was bust today. And I don't know, man. I don't take nothing away from this game. The one thing I did note that there was no Kristaps Porzingis and there was no Al Horford. So, you know, the Celtics were going to get pretty much cleaned up on the glass. And if the two Jays didn't rebound well, which they were rebounding okay, but the game kind of got out of hand really quickly. I did also see that Jaylen Brown had 5 turnovers, so not great. It doesn't mean nothing. You know, honestly, at this point in the season, you just win games. I think the Celtics are very fine with who they are. I think they're just going out and playing, just kind of keeping a good rhythm. I don't know. It's not much to take away from this game. I did like how Bobby Portis played off the bench. Now, with Giannis hurt, Portis is the X factor. So Bobby Portis, hashtag know your role player, is the role player that's going to have to take them to the next level, because as much as I do like Brooke Lopez, Brooke Lopez does not offer a lot rebounding, right? So one thing that, you know, they have similar skill sets, but Bobby Portis moves his feet a little better. He rebounds much better. They can both score inside, but I'm going to give Portis the edge of scoring inside. And then you talk about intensity. We got to give that to Bobby P too, you know. So he's going to be their swing player to kind of take him over the top, because, like I said, I'm going to want Lillard to come out and be aggressive tonight. But sometimes Lillard just doesn't do that. And I don't know, man. I don't know. We'll see what happens tonight. Couple of other things I noticed from last night's game. My Philadelphia 76ers. All right, so Embiid is healthy. Yo, real quick, bro. I believe it was the second or third quarter. It looked like he hyperextended his knee. So maybe I'm just, like, overanalyzing it, but it looked like he slightly hyperextended his knee. He stayed in the game. There was no injury reported after the game, but I'm not going to lie to y'all, man. It would be really nice today that he can not fall every play, all right? Some breaking news real quick. Giannis is out for the final 3 games with a calf strain. So I just talked about that earlier. We'll see if he's ready for the playoffs, all right? But back to my Sixers, man. I don't know. The good thing is that Embiid's back. He looks great. 37 points, 11 rebounds, you know, 8 assists. Almost had a triple-double in a light day. The bad thing is that, yo, Tobias Harris drives me crazy, man. Again, with Tobias, you got to find spots. And again, I do got to give him credit because he did do some things well, right? He rebounded the ball well. He had 4 assists. But I'm not going to lie, man. You playing a team like Detroit, he should be aggressive. And Tobias, I want to tell you all my biggest issues with Tobias. One is his shot selection. He is obsessed with hunting down these, like, one-on-one, I can take my man off the dribble and get the shot, whatever shot I want, shots. All right? That drives me crazy, okay? To the second thing that he does that drives me crazy is he doesn't shoot enough threes. Yo, half of the games this season, he probably took two threes or less. There is no reason why he shouldn't take 5 or 6 threes. Like, I don't know, man. I understand that his skill set, that he can do other things than just spot up. But as he gets older and as he looks for his next contract, his value will be in his spot up 3-point shooting. And I guarantee y'all this. I don't think they're going to re-sign him. But whatever team he goes to next, I guarantee y'all he's going to shoot a ton of threes and he's going to make a ton of threes. But for some reason, we couldn't get there here. They gave this man all the money in the world. I will not go into Elton Brand rant. But again, the Sixers were the only team that wanted to overpay this guy this much. There was no other team that's giving him this offer. And if they was, give it to him and just tip your hat and say, hey, you're a better man than me. That's it with me, all right? I'm over the Tobias Harris experience. I have low expectations. You cannot disappoint me because I do not expect absolutely nothing, all right? And I did not want to go on a tangent, but I got to be honest with y'all. All right, so NBA propaganda is at an all-time high, right? I want to state this again. I am pro-NBA player podcast, but there is a lot of agenda pushing P. There's a lot of just like, yo, I just got to get this take off. So let me just get a couple of rants off as far as basketball podcasts. One, again, I listen to a lot of podcasts. I can find insight in all of them. One, yo, Gilbert Arenas trolls. All right. So I can't keep up with the crazy things he says. Between Gilbert Arenas and Paul Pierce, there's just trolling and just I don't care. Well, Paul Pierce, I respect it a little because it's just hate, right? Whenever it comes to LeBron, and again, I'm not a LeBron fan, but I got to give it up when somebody's just like, yo, bro. Whenever it comes to LeBron, Paul Pierce just ain't having it. He ain't hearing it. And again, I do get it. He had some success against LeBron. He probably looks at LeBron saying, yo, I gave this guy the business. I was on the floor toe-to-toe with him. He ain't all that to me. And I understand Paul Pierce's point. But again, he's not being objective about LeBron, and it is what it is. Back to Mr. Gilbert Arenas. I think he said something like, Jokic is the worst MVP in the last 30 years. I don't know, man. Gilbert Arenas is a very smart person and a very smart basketball player, but he trolls and he doesn't care what he says, and he also knows that he has a voice that can get heard from a lot of different people. So he can get whatever reaction he wants just on how much he wants to troll. And so you have to take that into account with Gilbert Arenas. Again, 100% Gilbert can talk basketball, you know, if he wanted to just break down the game and give you stuff with some insight. I think he talked about one time about his son and about why he's going to a private, going to a public school and not a private school. You know, we talked about all these guys, Marvin Bagley and a bunch of other guys that went to, you know, big private schools and they kind of turned into role players. While he said he did notice that superstars went to the public schools. Now, I thought that was pretty insightful. Now, we'll see if that matters in the end. But again, I do think he has a ton of things to give to the game as far as what you speak on. But, yo, the trolling, I don't know, man. I think that trolling is... I think it's a gimmick, but the thing is, with somebody like Gilbert Arenas, dog, you know the game. Like, you're a smart dude, right? But so it's just kind of weird. Like, why do you have to do it? You know, I don't get it, right? Well, Mr. Draymond Green. So Draymond says that he gets hit in the face every game and the refs don't care and they'll never call it. But when he hits somebody in the face, it always gets called. Yo, dog. I don't understand how he doesn't see how he doesn't get the benefit of the doubt. Like, your arms and leg for years were notoriously flailing at everybody, right? So I don't see how he doesn't see, you know what I'm saying? Like, what the refs do. Again, you probably do get fouled. But again, you're cursing out the refs. You say whatever you want to them. You come in there, you know, you're drawing. You're always flailing. You're not going to get the benefit of the doubt. I just don't get how he doesn't get that, right? And again, they probably do miss a lot of calls. But hey, you know what can help you get you some calls? Not cursing out the rest in the start of the seventh quarter. You know, whatever help can get you calls? Not screaming at the rest at the beginning of the first quarter. Like, hey, man, you choose your own fate, bro. So I don't know, man. And LeBron, again, I'm going to save my LeBron Pope podcast takes for Friday because I want to go listen to every episode in full. I've heard in detail some spots of some episodes, but I don't know, y'all. I just don't think there's a lot of giving it up in the podcast. The brotherhood kind of hurts. And I hate to sound repetitive, but there's a certain level of layer that you can't get to. Perfect case and example. Oh, so Draymond Green and Klay Thompson was on his last podcast. And this is a short segment, but he was talking about how he wanted to know how Klay honestly felt when Draymond gets thrown out of games and how he lets the team down. He said, yo, give me the brutalest honesty. And again, Klay in the brotherhood, he takes a very high-class answer. He says, you know, it hurts because you're our leader, you're our tough guy. And all these things are true. But, yo, you didn't, like, I don't know, man. Like, let's just say Klay just said, yo, you want me to give it up? Yo, I think you'd be selfish a lot. I think you think about yourself too much. I think you get way too emotional. You can't keep your composure. You're getting thrown out a lot of games when we really need you. Now, that can work in two ways. One, he's being honest. And two, that would be great for content, right? But, again, the buddy-buddy system and the brotherhood, quote-unquote, of the NBA, that stuff's not happening. So take from that what you will, man. Take from that what you will. Yo, so back to the NBA, man. I don't know if I can – I don't know if SGA is going to win the MVP because I've been pushing for it. He's been missing some couple of games. They've still kind of been winning it, and it's still kind of at the top of the West. But it's going to be hard. I think for the most part that SGA in a lot of people, not me, but in a lot of people's mind, might have fallen to third. I don't think so because I think he'd beat both of these teams. And, again, I think he can beat both of these teams. And not he, but he – I don't know, y'all. I just think he has surpassed every expectation as far as the team and him and hitting big shots. And I feel like it's relatively simple. Like, I feel like people are giving it to Jokic. And again, Jokic is having a great year. But, yo, they're a great team. Like, I don't think OKC is nowhere near the team that Denver is. But I think they're young. I think they compete hard. But he is the guy that pushes them. If I put Jason Tatum on the OKC, do you think they have the same record? I don't. Now, if I put SGA on the Celtics, they're still going to be a really good team. So I just don't think you can give it to somebody just because they're winning. Because if we go by that, the Celtics have the best record in the NBA. Tatum wins MVP. Nobody thinks Tatum should win the MVP, you know? So I don't know, man. I would like exact criteria for what the MVP is. That's what I would like, me personally, okay? So real quick, I just want to talk about two games and I'll get y'all out of here. The Dallas Mavericks put a thumping on the Charlotte Hornets, 130-104. I got to give it up, man. Luka was great this game, man. Y'all know I have my quite gripes about Luka. You know, he does some stuff I don't like, but when you're great, you're great. 5 out of 7 from the three-point line, 12 rebounds, 10 defensive rebounds, 10 assists. Did that say 4 turnovers? That's actually pretty not too bad. 39 points, just did whatever he wanted. I thought P.J. Washington would have a big game. False. My man dropped a dollar, all right? Now he dropped change on the floor. He had 1 point, all right? Maybe it was the nerves. Maybe he was just getting too overly excited, but P.J. Washington, I apologize, did not bring it last night. Gafford was the guy that kind of took them over the top. So obviously, you know, with the Mavericks, and they're really hitting a great offensive stride right now, you know, with Kyrie and Luka. Kyrie finishes with 8 rebounds and 9 assists. Gafford kind of really set the tone with the points in the paint. And it'll be interesting, right? Because Dallas is really hot right now. And we're going to see very soon, towards the last 2 or 3 games of the NBA, positioning. And what I mean by that is, let's do a little reference point. If we look at the NBA in the standings as currently, a lot of these teams are still pretty close. So right now, if we went to the Western Conference, Dallas is in the 5th seed at 49-30, right? So there are 2 games behind the Clippers, who play Phoenix tonight. Now, the Clippers then punted all their starters. So they're basically giving Phoenix this game after beating Phoenix last night. We'll see if Phoenix puts their starters out. But I thought that was pretty interesting. And as I go back to SGA and the MVP, OKC is still 1 game behind for the number 1 seed, right? And they got a chance. Now, Minnesota and Denver, they play each other tonight. So this is a huge game for them. So, you know, I expect fireworks to fly. But as far as OKC, they're 1 game back. Let's look at the rest of their schedule real quick. All right. So if I look at Oklahoma City's schedule. I didn't even talk about last night what SGA did. My man had the smoothest 40 points and a win over the Sacramento Kings. And again, Sacramento's going to have to make some adjustments. They have regressed really, really badly. So there are 3 games left in the NBA season. Wow. Wednesday is tonight against San Antonio, Friday versus the Bucks, and Sunday. I believe that they're going to go 3-0. They're going to beat San Antonio. Victor Wembanyama is not playing tonight. They're going to get blown out without him. Milwaukee would be interesting, but they got what it takes to beat Milwaukee, but they got to do some better job as far as rebounding. And Dallas, I don't know if Dallas is going to be fighting for anything in that game. So I don't know, man. I'm very interested to listen to other opinions only because I would like to get a consensus of what other people are saying. You know, is it just Jokic is just by far and away ahead of the game, or what is it? So we'll see what happens. Yo, so I'm going to make this the last story because I want to keep this pod small because Friday's pod is going to be over an hour. All right, so I want to read this real quick. So Commissioner Adam Silver said Wednesday that after the Toronto forwards guard Jontay Porter, who is currently under investigation after multiple instances of betting irregulations over the past several months, could be banned from the league permanently if what he accused and winds up of is being true, calling it a cardinal sin. And that quote, "I have an enormous range of discipline available to me," Silver said in a hotel in Midtown Manhattan on Wednesday, after the league's annual board of governors meeting in the end of regulation with conduct over 24 hours, but it's a cardinal sin, which he accused of in the NBA. Ultimately, extreme option I have to ban him for the game. That's the level of authority I have here, because there's nothing more serious. I think our Lioness League, when it comes to gambling, betting on our games, is direct player involvement. So the investigation is ongoing, but the consequences could be very severe. Just going to read one more paragraph for this. Suspicious arose prop betting from importer in January 26th and in March 20th. And a first story first reported on ESPN on March 25th. Porter prop bets from those two dates wound up being the biggest moneymakers for each team, according to DraftKings Sportsbook. The NBA had its own brushes with betting scandals in the past, namely Tim Donaghy, LOL. But topics have exploded for the forefront, people thinking that sports betting has rapidly legalized in various states across the country over the past several years. Silver says he wishes there was federal frameworking governing sports betting rather than patchwork state-by-state approach, but we'll see what happens. He also admits that with how deep the relationships have grown among the NBA and other professional leagues, media companies, and gambling companies, this could lead to the potential rethink of how those relationships look moving forward. At the end of the day, there's nothing more important than the integrity of the competition. And so any issue raised around it is of great concern to me and of all commissioners and to all people who are safeguards who are in the position and have the responsibility to safeguard the game. Again, this is a burgeoning in the industry of the United States has been legal in other places in the world for decades. There's lessons to be learned from the way that sports betting is monitored and regulated in other jurisdictions. All right. Okay, so basically, Jontay Porter is Michael Porter Jr.'s brother. And I don't think I did a deep dive on this, so I want to talk about this briefly. All right, so reference point. In the NFL, two players that got caught betting on themselves, when they didn't bet on themselves, they got caught betting and they were both suspended the season. And I believe kind of like it's a little bit harder in the NBA. Well, it's a little bit easier to kind of predict your own outcome because you get the ball. In football, a lot of times if you're on defense, you have to go get the ball. And on offense, you got to get somebody to get you the ball. But he was directly betting on his unders and he was leaving the game early with injuries and putting a ton of money on it for him. Now, initially, it didn't get found out. And I'm not even sure how it got found out or if there was a conclusion to this. But I think it's going to be severe to ban a guy all time. So I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be 100% honest with you. I do not think this guy is the only guy that's betting in an NBA on his own self. Now, I don't think other guys are going into applications and putting in props for themselves, but I do think other guys have a kind of a, I don't know, man. I just think it's hard to regulate this stuff. It's really hard. Now, what he did was very obvious, right? And he's going to be the fall guy, and they got to set an example because, like, yo, this is, you talk about the integrity of a game. A guy has compromised himself to get specific numbers under to make himself money, even though he's already making himself money, right? And so there's a lot of, you know, catch-22s in there. But I don't know, man. I think a lifetime ban is pretty harsh. I understand that sports gambling has become very popular in sports and the money it generates for the NBA, the NFL, and all different sports. And you got to be hard on about it, and you got to be stern about it. But, yo, a permanent ban is kind of crazy, man. So we'll see what happens. I know this is a big story in the league. So, you know, the Players Association hasn't said anything. There's still an ongoing investigation. So we'll see what happens, man. But I don't know, man. I don't think I'm going to say this again. I don't think you should get a lifetime ban. Obviously, a season will be out for a season is the minimum. You know, but we'll see what happens. All right. So real quick. Friday, as I said before earlier, the season pretty much ends. Now, I think there's one. I believe the season is going to end very soon here. So let's check it out. Friday. Sunday. I believe Sunday. Sunday is the last day of the season. Yes, it is. So Sunday is the last day of the season. So what I'm going to do is this. Friday, I'm going to keep the show as is. And then that Monday, that'll be the NBA award show. So Monday, the April 15th, will be the NBA award show. I'll break it down. I'm going to see if I can get a graphic designer to post some cool stuff online. But I'm going to stand by my thing. So here's the thing. I don't want to have generic answers, right? The biggest thing to me and in sports is to have a belief thing, have your thing beliefs backed up with knowledge, insight, and integrity, and kind of stand on your opinions, right? And they don't have to agree with everybody's as long as they're fair and as they're just, and if I feel like I did the necessary precautions, all right? So I take these awards pretty seriously because I think it's a good way for me to measure how much am I getting my knowledge or how the game is being seen from others that watch the game. There's a lot of people that I follow that are voters of the league, so it'll be interesting to see what they put. But we'll see, man. I think some awards are up for grabs. I think some awards, you know, I kind of penciled in, but we'll see what happens. Nothing's written in stone of yet, but I'm pretty excited. So we'll talk about that. Friday, we'll keep the pod regular. Sunday, no pod. Monday, big pod. All right, and I believe that Saturday is the playoffs, right? Yeah, I believe April 20th. I believe the April 20th, the playoffs start soon. All right? But we'll see what happens. All right? Please like, share, and subscribe. Tell one friend to tell another friend to tell another friend about the Know Your Role Player podcast. That's K-N-O-W-Y-A-R-O-L-E-P-A-Y-E-R. I'll talk to y'all soon. Y'all be good. Peace!